while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Our text today is taken from the book of Joshua. And those of you who've heard me talk about this and say this, every year around about October-ish, I start praying and I start saying, Lord, what do you want to say to us next year? Where are we going next year? You know, what is the vision? What's the direction for the year? And then I go to the leadership team with four, isn't it, usually? So I'll take four Bible texts. You know, there's different ways of doing it. And we see this in some churches that will say, this is our year of, favor. This is our year of going to the next level. And some of you know how I feel about that phrase. I'm going to the next level. What does that mean? You're going upstairs, you know? This is our year of, whatever it may be. And so for me, I felt, as much as I understand that, and I subscribe to it, I thought there's no greater word than God's word. Amen? So the approach we take here is rather than giving it a title, we find a verse and we hold on to that verse right through. 2020. Remember the verse? We do not look to those things that are seen, but we look to the unseen, because what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. And then we walked into 2020, and indeed, we knew God was telling us, stop looking at what you're seeing. And then in December 2020, the leadership team prayerfully, we decided. And for 2021, our motto verse was, we hold fervently to the hope that we profess, because he who promised is faithful. And so for 2021, we see that a lot of people were losing hope. They had confessed and confessed and confessed that 2021 is my year of freedom. 2021 is my year out of lockdown. 2021 is this, that, and the other. And scripture says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And we saw people beginning to become increasingly and increasingly discouraged, losing hope. So isn't it wonderful that that's the word that God had for us to hold on to? And so we went through that same process last year. And the word, the Bible text for us, for Pollards Hill Baptist Church 2022, is the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. And it's there. It's on screen. It's everywhere. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And that's our watchword. That's the motto. That's what God is calling us to hold on to for 2022. Amen? Okay, amen says I agree. I agree. So shall it be. I agree that so shall it be. And if you read, just giving a little bit of a backstory, the situation in which God said this to Joshua. You know, the children of Israel had left Egypt, right? They'd been, depending on where who you read and who's commenting, which commentary you read, which theologian you follow, some people will tell you that God's people were in captivity I think Ezekiel actually says 430 specifically. There's a number given in one of the prophets said 430 years of captivity. But if you do your own research, you do your study, and you look at the genealogies, four generations, it's a little bit tricky to figure out that exact number. And so some people are saying maybe it's about 250. So somewhere between 250 years to 430 years, God's people were in captivity. He made the way through Moses, the deliverer. Moses, Moshe, to be redeemed from, to be delivered from. Moses, the deliverer, led them out of captivity. And they were in the wilderness. And they journeyed through the wilderness. in some cases, they obeyed the 11th commandment. You know the 11th commandment, don't you? Yes? No? You don't know the 11th commandment? The 11th commandment says, God has said his bit. Now I'm going to do what I want. That's the 11th commandment, where we just do what we want. We don't care what God said. We take it upon ourselves to live by our own standards. That's following the 11th commandment. And so God's people at certain points in the journey followed the 11th commandment. They did what they wanted, lived how they would. But all in all, well, and so as a result, a journey that should have taken 40 days took 40 years. Now along that way, along that journey, Moses died. They'd already identified Canaan. They knew the land of Canaan. And if you remember last year when we talked about in the series, Children of Israel, you know, we saw the map. It was a massive expanse of land, a huge expanse of land that God had promised, the promised land. And so they'd seen it. They'd been there. They'd sent the spies. The spies had come back, given the report. They knew that this land was expansive. They were there. Unfortunately, because of him obeying the 11th commandment, Moses wasn't going to make it. We know the story, most of us. He was disobedient. He didn't follow God's word. And God said, for that reason, you're not going to cross the threshold. You will not be one of those. So this is where we take up the story of Joshua. Joshua had been Moses' assistant, if you will, his associate minister, his second in command, his co-pilot. You know, you can find all sorts of words to describe the role that Joshua. Joshua was an able lieutenant for Moses. He was one of those that God sent specifically to help Moses. And he had been faithful in that calling. He had absolutely been faithful. He knew what he should have done, and he did it faithfully. Then Moses died. One of the things I want to, and then we get to this point where God spoke to Joshua. When we read this account of God delivering his people, when we read this account of what happened after Moses died, sometimes, and particularly when we read scripture, we look at these accounts as historical. They are things that happened, you know, in the past that we can learn from. But saints, the word of God is living and active. Yes? It living means it is working now. Active, it is doing now. It is living and active. And you know, in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, Paul, writing to the people of Corinth, said these words, and they're going to come up on screen, I hope. You know what? I think this is a good opportunity to just say thank you to the multimedia team. Really appreciate you guys. It has been a challenging service because we had all sorts of technical, and I also want to, you know, thank birthday boy in a few days, DMR. You know, we were here for about 10 hours yesterday trying to resolve some of the technical difficulties so that we could at least have the screens working and broadcast today. So really appreciate you in your time of need. You will not be forgotten in Jesus' name. You know, so 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Interesting formatting, but thank you. This is from The Message, right? And it says, you know, it's talking, Paul is right, it says, all these are all warning markers, danger in our history, books written down so we don't repeat their mistakes. Paul is saying, it's not just a history lesson. You just read it and you learn some stuff. Particularly so we do not in our now repeat those mistakes. So number one, you know, it's not just something for us to learn from. It is something for us to put into practice now. And what we will be looking at, this account that happened with Joshua. Number two, you know, scripture talks about Canaan. Yeah, thank you. You can take that off the screen. The Bible talks about Canaan. And Canaan was the place, the land that has been promised to them. This Canaan was the place they were entering into. And you know, we read and we hear, I mean, there's poetry, there's writings, there's even, there's a song that says, I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home.
abandoned angels coming for to carry me home. Oh, oh, swing low, sweet child.
Okay, that's it. Okay, now yeah, enough. Yeah. All right. Who was playing? Somebody was, oh, Alan. It's like, oh, music, let's go. And you know, when you think about that song, and a lot of people historically have looked at Canaan being heaven. Canaan is heaven. No. It's not heaven, you know. Canaan has some of the values that heaven has. Canaan, what Canaan represented a time, a place, a season where your struggle was over. Canaan means no more struggle, no more stress. Canaan means you can recharge and be refreshed and recuperate. That's what Canaan signified for them. And remember, according to 1 Corinthians 10:11, it's not just a history, it's not just our past, it represents our present. And because of that, Canaan for us is the place where we today can enter into. So number one, you know, this account isn't just dealing with our past, it's also dealing with our present. Number two, it's talking about Canaan, our Canaan, a place of rest, recuperation, recharging, a place where we get our strength, a place of success, a place of victory is Canaan. Number three, this work of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and entering Canaan was led by Moses. His name, Moshe, I mean, we have a Hebrew expert in the congregation, you know. His name, Moshe, which is the Hebrew word, well, the derivatives derived from that, is talking about being taken from, you know, because he was taken from the river. He was, you know, it's talking about being delivered. That's the, it's got allusions of deliverance. And so typically, or traditionally, colloquially, I don't know what the English is. Some people will say the word Moses, the name Moses, means deliverer. And I think that's a fairly theologically sound way to describe it. Because God brought about this work of deliverance of his people through Moses, the one who was taken from, who was delivered from. But here's the thing, and I said this at the Boxing Day service on the 26th. To deliver, you know, Moses was their deliverer, Christ is our deliverer. You're not just delivered from, you are delivered to. The children of Israel were being delivered from captivity in Egypt to rest in Canaan, from stress in Egypt to rest in Canaan. What have you been delivered from? And where are you being delivered to? Christ didn't just, you know, God didn't just take them out of Egypt and just leave them. From and to. So that's the third thing. And then the fourth thing, and the truth of it is, when we look at this account, when we look at this story, unfortunately, I've said this before, or have I? Have I ever said to you that God is not nice? Have I ever said that? So let me be very clear on something. God is not nice. Some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, how could you say that? Yeah, God is not nice. Get your theology right. He is loving. He is kind. He is generous. He is compassionate. He is merciful. But he is not nice. Okay, let me be clear. My God is not nice. Because nice is a human construct. It is a human construct. That word, nice. Nice says, oh, be nice. Don't rock the boat. Really? Even Jesus was the master boat rocker. Healing people on the Sabbath, turning water into wine, mashing up people's theology, criticizing the leaders in the Sanhedrin. You know, oh, you brood of vipers, he said, your father is the devil. Said to his closest friend, Peter, get thee behind me. Said, hey, Jesus was a boat rocker. Were those nice words? Of course not. God isn't nice. So let's be careful not to put God into our box. We should be trying to get into his box, not the other way around. Am I right? Am I? So the fourth thing is that some people didn't make the journey. Some people, including Moses himself, didn't make it to the end. Some people perished in the wilderness. along the way. 82 years God is calling us, and next week we will be celebrating our 82nd year. Our own regional minister, Reverend Phil Barnard, will be coming to share the word. He'll be bringing a word. And his word really is a follow-on from what we're doing, what we're looking at today. And so let's look at the text briefly, and then we're done. I want to just call up Joshua 1, verse 1, and just take us through each of these till we get to verse 9, and say, what is God saying to us? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them. The land I will give to the Israelites. So, no, go back. I'll tell you. Yeah, stop pausing. So, the land I am about to give. God was talking about a promise. The land I will give. He's talking about something that's about to happen in the future. He says, Moses is dead. Then you and I get ready to cross the Jordan. What does that mean? And what's God saying to us as a church? What's he saying? We've been here 82 years. Okay, not every... Well, somebody I know has been here 82 years. You know? Wow. What an example. And I say this. I mean, you know, we're laughing about it. But 82 years of God's faithfulness? This man... is an epitome of what it means to be faithful to God. Every single one of us, yes, you're still human. And he looks at, he has a humble heart and he's like, what, me? Yes, you. Couldn't be. Then who? The epitome of what it means to be loyal, to be faithful, to be committed to God's purpose and plan. He was a baby in this church. Born here. Yeah, he was a baby. He wasn't born big, no. Came through as a toddler, as a schoolboy, in his teens, in his 20s. He's found his beloved. And she came willingly, galloping along at his side as his co-pilot. She was like, honey, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. 5 sons. Whoa. 5 is a number of grace. And you see, they've had the grace for this. People say, oh, I want to be like Alan. Be careful. Can you handle what Alan's handled? I want to be like Gene. Really? Have a conversation with Gene first, and then go back and pray about it. Because they have seen some stuff. And they're still standing to the glory of God. He's talking about, you know, what does it mean to get ready to cross the Jordan? You're about to cross into a new season, a new land, new opportunities. As I was saying, new victories, new success. See, I said victories, I heard the amen. I heard success, amen. Okay, here we go. New victory means new fights. I didn't hear any amens there. Did you notice? New success means new hard work. I think somebody was like, okay, then amen then. Because how do you get success without the work? People say, oh, you know, some people, it just happens for them. You know, it just happens. But isn't it coincidental that the people who are really successful usually really work hard? Isn't it just coincidence? Oh my gosh, it's amazing. But if we're to enter into the new success, how, what you think? I was part of a webinar, NHS, they asked us to, you know, talk about faith and whether, you know, whether there's an issue, the trust that I work for, whether there's a, what's it? Because some people were saying, oh, I don't want to take the vaccine because of my faith. And I was one of the 5 panelists. You know, NH King's has something like 23,000 staff, and I think a few of you were on this webinar. You know, and one of the things that I said there is, listen, we need to get out there and do some stuff. You know, God, it's not whether the Holy Spirit can heal us, it's how the Holy Spirit heals us. He uses people, he uses things, he uses medication. Stop it. You wrap all your silly junk philosophies in Bible paper, it doesn't mean God said it. I'm not saying go and take the vaccine. I'm making it very clear that theologically, the Holy Spirit uses things. He uses peoples. Why are you registered with a GP then? Oh, when your children were born, why did you take them for immunizations then? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, come on, can we just stop and hold things in a proper balance? Proper balance. So if you say, for reasons of conscience, I do not feel comfortable, fair enough. Fair enough. But don't wrap it in Bible paper and say, God said. That's where you can see I'm already raising my voice. I'm about to take off my jacket and roll up my sleeves. You know, I said, but God calls us to do and be proactive. You don't lie in bed and say, oh, God is going to provide for my needs. And that rice from Thailand or India or wherever it is you get your Thai fragrant rice from is going to import itself, you know, go through the store, cook itself and transport itself into your belly. It doesn't work. There's stuff you need to do too. Because faith without the corresponding work is dead. And so getting ready to cross the Jordan is getting ready to enter into that new place, that new season, that new environment, with the new challenges, but with the new success, with the new battles, but with the new victories. Let's go to the next verse. And it says, the land I am about to. And then he says this, I will give you every place where you set your foot. And you see, it's really important, this verse. The promise was theirs, but they had to claim the promise. What's our slogan as a church? Sharing the love of Jesus. You do not, please, I'm about to ask a question. Do not put your hands up. How many people in this community in the last year have you gone to share the love of Jesus with? And don't talk about the person sitting next to you who also lives in the community in the street next to you. Sharing the love of Jesus. How many times have we done? There is a responsibility that has been placed upon us. We have a duty to carry that baton forward, to carry that flame. I will give you every place where you set your foot as promised to Moses. What's that? Scripture that says, the steps of the righteous are ordered of God. You know that one, right? Yeah, the theologians were already saying, steps of the righteous. Listen, you want God to order your steps? You need to surrender your feet to him. We say the steps of the righteous are ordered of God, but we're going places we shouldn't go. We're getting involved in things we shouldn't be getting involved with. Anyway, that's a preach for another day. Let's go to the next verse. It says, your territory will extend, and God basically opens up Google Maps and shows it to Joshua. Yeah, go on to the next verse. And this is where it is. It says, no one. I've already made the promise. This is a land I am about to give you, he said. Right? And you are gonna play your part. You are gonna step on this. Everywhere you put your foot, you are gonna claim it. You are gonna play your part in this. And when these things are in place, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Wow, what a promise. I will never, he said, leave you nor forsake you. Do you remember the other person who said that? Jesus. As he was going, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God is reminding you, PHBC family, he's reminding you, he will never leave you nor forsake you. Stuff may be tough. Sometimes it may feel like you are in the valley of the shadow of death. But even in the valley of the shadow of death, he can prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, he can anoint your head with oil. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you can enter into abundance as your cup runs over. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wherever you go, not just when you're disobedient, not just doing the 11th commandment. You're following what I've said. You're claiming, you're stepping into the promise I gave to you, not the promise you're trying to make for yourself. You're stepping into that. I will never leave you, he says. Next verse, please. And then here it starts. It says, be strong. Do you know what strength? What is strength? Do you know how we develop strength? Let me ask you this question. I want to ask a question. No, and I really do want a show of hands. So please, everybody, if the answer is yes, I want you to put your hand up. You know, sometimes we'll ask a question, the answer is yes, and we're all sitting there waiting. This is not rhetorical. I want to see, because I want to make a point. How many people here have got strength? Let me see your hands. Okay. Some of you didn't put your hands up. So, how did you walk in? We've all got some sort of strength. Do you know how you build strength? Through resistance. Go to any gym. Oh, dear more. Do me a favor, stand up. Take that jacket off. Come on, you know you want to. Just look at this. We're talking 100% beefcake. Did you see how long it took that sleeve to come off his arm? He had to pull and pull and pull, and that sleeve, that jacket's probably like triple XL. This young man was the president of the Powerlifting Association for Oxford University. Okay. So you know why I told him to stand up. I'm not even kidding. Listen, if Diamore, you know, if his arm rests on your shoulder, your foot will fall off. Please sit down. I mean, look at his arms. His arms are the same size as my waist. But how do you build that kind of strength? Through resistance. You want to lift 100 kilos with one arm? You don't start with 100. The other day I was watching the world's strongest man, the competition on Channel 5, I think it was. I was just like, what? These people are lifting cars and just flinging them. And I was just like, somebody could drive that thing. Do you know? How did they get there? You lift 10. And when you're used to your 10, then you go to maybe 15. I mean, the expert is here. You know, and then maybe you jump to 30. You know what I mean? You build strength. He says, be strong and courageous. Strength you build through resistance, through standing up to something. He's saying, don't be a wimp about it. That's what that word is. That's what God was saying to Joshua, and that's what he's saying to us today. Be courageous. What is courage? I love this. Anecdotal, it's not a dictionary definition. Someone says, courage comes after you have done it. Boldness before. You are bold to face something, but you are recognized as courageous after you have done it. When a medal of courage is given, is it given before the fight? Courage is always recognized afterwards. Some of us are standing there and like, I wanna, should I go or should I not? Da-da-na-na-na-na. Just do it already. Courage. Get on and do it. And be recognized afterwards. Because you will lead these people. You see, Joshua had been faithful in the little. He'd been faithful as an assistant to Moses. He'd been faithful as a lieutenant. He'd been faithful with everything he was told to do. You know what? I need you to X. Bam, faithful. I need you to Y. Bam, faithful. And I want to highlight somebody. Those of you know this who are members of this church. Eddie, please stand up. This man, for how many years, I don't even remember now, has served us as one of the leaders, as a deacon of this church, as a trustee of this organization. Quiet, unassuming. Okay, he's late for everything, but we love him anyway. I'm not going to lie about it. But we love him anyway. But you know, I can call up Eddie any day and say, I need your spleen. And he would go and get it done. Thank you. God bless you. We appreciate you. He'd been faithful in all these things. Now it was his turn to take on the mantle. He says, you will lead these people to inherit the land I promised. I swore to their forefathers to give them. The next verse goes on in this instruction to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Now here's it. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Right? The law. The word that was already written down, what you have heard said before, what has been passed down from your forefathers and your forefathers, the mandate that has been passed down from the founding fathers, men and women who founded this church. I'm pointing to Alan because his parents were amongst the founders of this church. The mandate that has been passed down, be careful to obey the word that is given as a root of my power, my presence in Pollard's Hill. Then he says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And he says, do not let, and this is the one, Joshua 1:8. Many people quote this. Do not let the book of the Lord depart of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Be careful. Let's look at this verse in some detail, or just piece by piece. Do not let it depart from your mouth. What does that mean? The things you are saying must be in line with God's word. The things you are saying must be in line with God's vision. Listen, I'm going to say some stuff. You know me anyway. You just got to love me. You know, I'm just going to bring it the way it is. We said it in one of the last church meetings. If your heart is not for this church, I'm telling you now, that's actually okay. Oh yeah, I said it. That's okay. But it's important that you and your gifts and your talents can go and be a blessing somewhere else. What you say about Pollard's Hill Baptist Church must be in line with what God says about Pollard's Hill. How can you come here and you criticize and you knock and you complain and you grumble? And how are you? Come on. I mean, that's not for us here anyway. It's for them lot, right? No, but this doesn't apply to anybody here. But do you understand the point I'm making? It says the Lord must not depart from your mouth. So what you say must be in line with the vision. Number two, meditate on it day and night, which means what you even think must be in line with the vision, with the word of God. And then number three, that you may be careful to do. So what you do must be in line with the vision. And when it is, look at the last sentence, you will be prosperous and successful. Now, is that easy to do? No, it's not. Well, it's easy. Even for me, it's easy in my dreams because life is going to happen. Have I ever complained about anything? Who said all the time, see me after the service? Honey, if I was not expecting your hand, I was about to write, whoever you are, you know what, I'm not going to talk to you. Oh, my wife says all the time. Well, in my reality, it's not all the time. It's just once in a while. And so don't ever think that this word I'm preaching doesn't apply to me. It applies to me too. After we've done all of that, then we will be, as church, prosperous and successful. Is it easy to do? No. How do we know that it's not easy? The next verse, after God has said this, he then says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Why would you tell someone be strong and courageous? Why? Because there's a good likelihood they were going to feel timid, unable, weak. There was a good likelihood they were going to feel nervous, terrified, afraid. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. You say that because people are afraid and people are losing hope. The world in which we live has changed over the last 2 years. 2 years already. What? Yes. 150,000 lives in this country alone lost. Of course there's terror around us. Of course there's discouragement around us. Yet God is calling us, PHBC family. Do not be terrified. And these words are going to be up here. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen. I want to read everything to you again. That's it. You know, the interesting thing I said at the beginning, this text is not just a past. It's not just a history lesson. It's our instructions for now. Number one. I talked about how Canaan, you know, what Canaan represents. And how many people here just feel, have you ever, no, be honest. This is the beginning of a new year, and you feel, you know what, I'd just love to have a break, just for things to be easy for a bit. Yeah, I can see the hands, I can see the faces, just like, you know what, just be nice for just, do you know, I just want to relax a bit. We want our Canaan, don't we? And I talked about the third thing, God delivers from, but he delivers to. And yes, he has delivered us from, but don't we want to be delivered to that place of rest and greater security, greater confidence, greater assurance, greater depth of worship in him? And number four, I talked about the fact that not everybody made it. And for God, it is not God's will for anybody to perish in the wilderness. And unfortunately, sometimes we find ourselves in danger of perishing in the wilderness before we've entered into that place. So I want to read now, I'm going to read the whole text and that's it. But this time it's from, oh, glory to Jesus. I mean, we clap for you guys and everything, you know? I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm long-sighted, but gosh. Should I just do it? Yeah, leave it on screen. Just leave it. Don't worry. I can read it. Leave it. I really mean that. Leave it. Don't fiddle with it. Okay, here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Get going, he says. And I'm reading this. I want you to listen specifically to the words. Get going, PHBC. No, leave it. PHBC family, get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people, you and all the congregation. Cross the Jordan River. Come to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. So come into the promise. Come into the promise I've given to you. Come into the word I have given to you. What has God promised you for 2022? And he's saying, come into that. I'm giving you every square inch of that land, of that promise that you set your foot upon, of that promise you claim, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, and that's the whole, you know, the Lebanon east to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then west to the Great Sea. It's all yours. And so the promise, God is saying, my promise to you isn't going to be given to you piecemeal. You're not going to get half the promise. What I promised you, you will get it in its entirety. Amen? And then he says, where is it now? It's all yours. All your life, no one will be able to hold out against you. In the same way I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I won't give up on you. I won't leave you. Strength, courage, you're going to lead this people to inherit this land, the land I promised to give the land I promised to give their ancestors. Give it everything you have, heart and soul. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded you, every bit of that revelation. Don't get off track, either left or right, so as to make sure you get to where you're going. And don't for a minute, he says, let this book of the revelation out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. Haven't I commanded you, he says. Strength. Courage. PHBC family, don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.